Welcome to Babbittville Radio, a place where you'll hear great conversations with the world's best and most inspirational runners, triathletes, and cyclists. Endurance lives here. Now, here's your host, USA Triathlon and Ironman Triathlon Hall of Famer, Bob Babbitt.
Welcome to Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt. We're brought to you by Ironman U, by EverySite.com, RunCatalina.com. Catalina Eco Marathon is coming up on Saturday, November 21st. Our Challenge Athletes Foundation, where we have raised over $70 million to keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. And you can check out any of our interviews on iTunes or on Babbittville.com. Our next guest is a two-time Olympian and now a two-time champion of the Xterra World Championships in Maui. Flora Duffy joins us. Flora, how are you?
Hi, Bob. Yeah, I'm doing very well. Thank you.
So you were listening to or watching a few of our interviews from Kona?
Yeah, I think I watched all of them.
Wow.
Well, maybe not all, but I got pretty into it, which is kind of unlike me. But I guess I was deep in training for Maui and thought, why not? It might be a bit of motivation listening to everybody.
Exactly. So far, take me back. Did you grow up in Bermuda?
Yeah, I was born and raised in Bermuda, and my parents and brothers still live there. And I went to high school in Bermuda, and then I left to go to boarding school to finish off high school.
Yeah.
So I guess I haven't lived there full-time for a while. I just dropped in every now and then to visit.
Now, I saw photos of you. I think you were like 7 or 8 years old. So you got into running early.
Yeah. I got into, I guess like in primary school. I had a really great PE teacher and started a running club. And so I went to the club and loved it and did every single running race there was in Bermuda growing up. And that eventually led me into triathlon.
And so how old were you when you first got into triathlon?
I think I did my first triathlon. I was either 7 or 8.
Oh, my
actually pretty
God.
Young.
Wow. Yeah. And you realized pretty early that, man, I like this sport.
Yeah, I mean, I loved it from the start. I think, like, I won my age group, and there was a little local triathlon club.
Yeah.
And so, of course, I went there, and I made friends. There's, like, a group of girls my age, and then, you know, we just kind of became the best of friends, and that's just what we did together is rode bikes, did some swimming, running, and, I was really, really lucky to have that growing up.
Now, when did you start thinking, okay, I'm loving this sport, I could potentially go to the Commonwealth Games. I could go to the Olympics. I can go a lot of places with the sport. Was there a point in your life where you thought, okay, this could be more than just a hobby and a way to hang out with friends?
Well, I think I had that dream pretty early on, maybe at like 10, because back then the ITU, they had a World Cup in Bermuda. So I got to like watch all of like the greats like Greg Welch would be racing and Mike Pigg and Emma Carney. Like, I remember being her biggest fan.
Yeah.
And so I guess I saw them and was like, wow, like maybe I could do this. You know, like that was like my dream. I had no idea if I actually had the talent or anything. But, you know, that kind of planted the seed. And then I continued like working towards it. I mean, all for fun, of course. And then I guess at about like 16, 17, I like really wanted to focus on it. And that's when I moved to boarding school in England. I went to Kelly College. It's a really good swimming school and had a little triathlon program. And, I just wanted to expose myself to more of the triathlon world and race abroad to see if I had any, you know, of the talent to sort of match up and do this.
So in 2006, you go to the Commonwealth Games, and that was your first international event.
Yeah, it was.
And you weren't even done with high school yet.
No.
Wow.
No, I remember I was on Easter break from boarding school, and Commonwealth happened to line up perfectly. So off I went to Australia, and it was my first elite event. I don't even think Bermuda were sure if I could, you know, sort of compete at that level. I had no idea. And then, you know, I remember like Emma Snosel was the best in the world at the time, and here I am racing alongside her, this 18-year-old girl, like totally like out of my depth. But I somehow had a really good race, and I'm riding in the front group with all of these women, and, you know, I'm just, like, starstruck as I'm with them, like, pulling turns.
Yeah.
And finished 8th, which, you know,
amazing.
For me was huge.
Oh, top 10 at the age of 18?
Yeah.
Crazy.
And, like, Bermuda was thrilled, and I was, and, yeah, it was kind of like a little dream come true, almost.
So that leads to Beijing, 2008, first time as an Olympian. Talk about the experience of going to the Olympics.
Yeah, going to the Olympics is incredible. I mean, it's unlike anything else, and it's hard to relate, like, and tell people about it, like, how truly magnificent it is. I mean, also, it's pretty daunting as well. Yeah. Like, I went to my first Olympics at 20, and, you know, it's scary. Like, you know, the spotlight's kind of on you and me from a small country. We don't have many athletes, so there's definitely pressure to try and perform at, like, you know, sort of your best level. It's not to say, like, win a medal, but, you know, you want to do a good performance for your country. You don't have many people there.
Yeah.
And unfortunately for Beijing, for me, it was a little tricky. I went into it not quite in the best shape, was having some issues. You know, it's funny, you know, in 2006, it was just a high bursting onto the scene. And then by 2008, I was already starting to struggle with some health issues. And, you know, it's really difficult to race at that level when you're so young.
Right.
And yeah, ended up DNFing.
Was it injury stuff, sickness stuff? What was going on?
Kind of some sickness stuff. Just not really taking care of myself, I suppose. And my body was just totally run down and started, like, just needed a total rest and to be away from the sport.
Was it hard having so much success at the age of 18? And all of a sudden you're from a small country and it's like, oh my God, if she finished eighth there, she's going to go win the Olympics for us. Did you feel pressure from the outside that, oh my God, now that I've done something, I really need to do something?
Yeah, you know, I think a little bit. The papers follow me pretty closely in Bermuda. And, especially so in 2006 I was eighth at Commonwealth, and then, a couple months later I was second at Junior Worlds, and then I had a couple top tens in some World Cups. And so it was definitely, like, you know, a lot of attention on me, I felt. And that is tough when you're 18 and didn't really have the support network built up like I do now.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think a little bit of it got to me and struggled with it, but, you know, it's all part of the learning process.
So after that 2000, did you get to enjoy the Olympic experience besides, you know, race day? Did you go to opening or closing ceremonies and really get a sense of the scope of the Olympics?
Oh, yeah. I went to the opening ceremony and the closing. I think I stayed for the entire games. And
good.
Yeah, I mean, watched some events, some swimming and some track and field, and of course, I went to a few parties, and made the most of it.
You never know if you're getting back there. When you go to your Olympics,
exactly.
You're like, this could be a one and done, man. I better enjoy this thing.
Yeah.
So after 2008, you're on the ITU circuit, then you're building up again to 2012. Did you experiment at all with some non-drafting or some other things in between 2008 and 2012?
No, so interestingly enough, after 2008, I took nearly 2 years out of the sport. I enrolled at the University of Colorado in Boulder.
Yeah.
And just kind of thrust myself into university life.
Right.
As a college kid, I wasn't racing, training full-time really at all, and then I was just sort of indulging in being a 21-year-old college kid, I think. But slowly got it back into it by joining the CU cycling team. So I did a lot of bike racing. The local scene of Boulder is amazing. Like, I can do any local crit, and the who's who of women's cycling are pretty much here. And, you know, that's slowly I navigated myself back into triathlon, working with Neil Henderson, my coach.
Right.
Who's back then and still is my coach. And then, yeah, I started building, I guess, from about mid-2010. And things kind of came back pretty quickly, and then, you know, qualified for 2012 and had pretty good shape going into London.
And so and going to London, and Beijing is wonderful, but I was in London for the Paralympics. I can't even imagine what the Olympics was like, because Paralympics was crazy. Was it just really, really fun?
It was, yeah. London, it was incredible. I definitely enjoyed London more than Beijing.
Yeah.
And especially because, so, like, my parents are from England, and so I'm British citizen myself, and we've spent summers in England. Like, that's where all my family is. I went to school there. So, you know, a big part of me, I guess, you know, is British. And so it was pretty cool to race there. And there's loads of, like, Bermudians that had come over to watch and that are living in London. And so, you know, in that sense, it was really special. I had, like, a connection to the place. And I had great shape going into the race and was really excited. And then, unfortunately, got caught up in the crash in the first lap of the
bike.
You
were part of that, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I was doing everything right. You know, I was maybe third wheel going around the corner, you know, not trying not to get caught up in the crashes in the back. And unfortunately, I mean, there was just oil or something on the road, and that was it. I was down.
So, and then after the Olympics, when were you diagnosed as anemic?
That happened in 13, yeah. So I really struggled with that in 2013.
How long did you have to sit out before you were able to come back?
It took a while to diagnose it because I was, you know, struggling for a while and I was like, well, something's wrong here. So it was only probably a month that I had to sit out. But then during that month, or like toward the end of it, when I was about to start, you know, racing again, I got a stress fracture in my foot. So that put me out for another 6 weeks.
Wow.
So I guess it basically 2013, I think I raced like 3 times.
Well, but one of the things you did in 13 was you got a bronze medal at Xterra Worlds.
Yes.
So had you done a lot of mountain biking before, or was that fairly new for you?
I got a little bit, yeah. Like throughout college, there was a mountain bike team, so I did a few races there, but not much. And every once in a while, Neil would make me go out on my mountain bike. I was kind of okay, but I definitely did a lot of like panic training on my mountain bike leading into that race because obviously I couldn't run. So I was like, well, this is perfect. I'm just going to ride my mountain bike. So I was okay, definitely. I look back at it and think, oof, don't know how I got through it. But, I had a decent amount of mountain biking, I suppose.
So when you finished third at that, you know, basically your first world championships in Maui, I mean, sometimes it takes people a while to find what the real calling is. And then all of a sudden something happens. Did you feel after that race, like, wait a second, I've had a stress fracture, I've been anemic, and I got a bronze medal here in my first time out. This sport, even it's triathlon, but it's so different. This sport really suits me.
Yeah, definitely. It's like something clicked, and I was like, oh, hang on a minute. Maybe I can do this. Maybe if I, you know, ride my mountain bike all winter and next year that, you know, I can move up a step on the podium. It definitely came as a huge shock to me. Like throughout the race, I was like, I cannot believe. I was actually in second for predominantly most of the race and got passed right at the end. So it was, definitely a huge surprise and motivated me to race more Xterra and try that scene of triathlon.
At that point, were you still thinking, okay, I'm going to go for 2016 at the ITU and try to make my third Olympic team? Or did you decide, all right, now's the time to make the move to Xterra and really focus on this?
No, I'd always had 2016 in the back of my head, just because of what's happened in London and what's happened in Beijing. Like, I need to go try and actually have a decent Olympics. But I also knew that for me, if I raced full time on the ITU scene for like the next 3 or 4 years, whatever year we were in, then that I would just be totally blown by 2016.
Right.
So I dedicated 2014 predominantly to Xterra, did a few ITU races. Mentally, physically, emotionally, I find it easier. Obviously, it's still hard racing and hard training, but a little less intense overall, I would say, than racing on the ITU circuit.
Yeah, it's a little mellower.
Yeah.
So if you look at some beginning of 2014, you've won 12 out of 13 Xterra races. And this year, you had 5 straight wins. But I've read a couple different places, you like being the underdog rather than being the favorite. And you've spent this last couple of years sort of being the favorite. Are you starting to like that role?
I mean, I guess so. I try to frame it, you know, in a positive light. It's so weird because I flip-flop between, you know, ITU and Xterra. So it's like one weekend I do an ITU race and, you know, I'm not the favorite at all. Okay, maybe I'll be an influencer on the bike, but that's it, you know?
Right.
And then the next weekend I go to an Xterra and it's like, feels like it's all eyes on me, like I'm the favorite. And this is interesting mixing the two like that. But I suppose I'm learning to like the favorite. I mean, I just try to think, you know, I just have to execute my race plan and it doesn't matter if I'm the favorite or not. It's just just you got to do what you got to do.
So 2014 Commonwealth Games. First time you were Commonwealth Games, 2006, you got eighth place. This time you're in Glasgow. And a lot of times these races aren't, you know, they're flat and fast and there's a lot of sitting in. It sounds like the course in Glasgow really suited you, that it was more challenging.
Yeah, it definitely was a really challenging course, quite hilly, a bit technical too.
Yeah.
But I was still ended up finishing eighth, which...
Same as what you did in 06.
Yeah. I was like, oh man, have I not improved? No. But I think I was still pretty happy with my race. I think overall, I executed a better race. But it was great to race there again in Glasgow. My parents were in the crowd. I actually got to high-five my mom as crossing the line.
Sweet.
So overall, it was a really cool experience. And honestly, 2014, I hadn't really focused much on ITU racing. So, you know, to go in there with great expectation would have been unrealistic.
Well, and not only that, but you have that great performance at Commonwealth Games, but then you win your first Xterra World Championship in Maui. Talk a little bit about that, going to Maui. And, you know, obviously you won a lot of Xterra races that year, but still, a lot of people win during a year and then don't win the big one in, you know, October when it really counts.
Going into that race, it was pretty intense, pretty focused. That was obviously the goal for the whole year, is to win that race. And, I guess you look at someone like Josiah, who has just dominated the U.S. Xterra scene, and it's taken him until this year to get it right.
Yeah.
And so, that race, anything can happen. But luckily, I'd been training pretty closely and actually owe a lot of my Xterra success, I would say, to Dan Hugo, then also his training partner, Bradley Vise. So we were all here training together in Boulder, and it was very cool, actually, because the three of us, you know, we were focused on that one day and got to build it up together. And, luckily, race day for me, pretty much everything went to plan. I had a bit of a kind of a pretty big crash on the bike, and I ripped my suit, which is a little embarrassing. But I didn't break anything. I didn't break my bike. So, you know, that's part of the game in Xterra. Like, your race plan usually goes out the window because something will happen.
Right. I remember talking to Josiah, and he crashed twice on the bike, and he crashed once on the run, and he won. So it's like you're going to deal with stuff on race day, and you just have to overcome it.
Yep. It's all about perseverance.
Well, worst thing that's happened to you in an Xterra race?
Probably in Maui last year when it was a really tricky descent and I flipped over my handlebars into the bushes. That's where I ripped my suit, and a couple guys passed me and they were like, oh my God, Flora, like, I don't think she's going to get up from this.
Yeah.
And luckily I was fine. Like, it's actually quite amazing. And anyway, I just got back up on my bike and was like, all right, Flora, put that crash behind you and let's carry on. You still got another 10 miles to ride.
Did they get that on TV?
No, luckily not.
Oh, I would love to see that. Wow.
No, but I didn't know my suit had ripped right on my butt. So as I crossed the line, you know, like my moment of glory, someone comes running over. They're like, Flora, put this towel around your waist, please. And I was like, why? They're like, you have a hole in your suit.
Nice.
A little embarrassing. But.
Talk a little bit with Xterra. What's interesting, it reminds me a lot of cross-country skiing in that the wax is so important when you're cross-country skiing because conditions change. For you guys, if it's wet, if it's sloppy, if it's dry, you have to choose the right tires. If you had some races where you just, I'm on the wrong equipment for this race.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's like running the correct tires and tire pressure for the conditions is make it or break it.
Yeah.
So last year going into Maui, it had rained all week, and the course was so sloppy and so muddy. And I was freaking out because I only had one set of tires with me that were for the conditions I thought it would be. And I was like, oh, man, I've totally screwed this up. Like, what did you do, Flora? Why didn't you bring a spare set of tires? And luckily, by race day, it all dried out, and it was perfectly tacky. So then this year, I took two sets of wheels, you know, one set with sort of like a muddish tire and then one set with the really lightweight tires that I wanted to race. I've had to learn so much, and luckily through Dan, he's helped me a lot. And has really helped me dial in the details, know what tire pressure I need to run. And like now I can tell if it's, you know, out by one PSI, I know it's too hard or too soft, you know? So you just eventually through experience learn.
So this year, coming in, and you know, you won, you know, five big races this year. You're coming to the World Championships as the favorite. How did this year play out, and did you feel that extra pressure now that you were coming in as defending champion?
Yeah, you know, honestly, I didn't think I would feel as much pressure coming in as defending champion, but yeah. I did.
Well, you did.
Yeah, I think there's a saying that Neil would say to me all year. He's like, it's something like, it's, you know, it's easier to get on top than it is to stay on top.
Yes, it's true. Yeah.
He'd continually say that to me throughout this year. And yeah, it was true, and especially because Leslie Patterson was racing.
Yes.
And we hadn't really met since, you know, I'd started to, like, take Xterra more seriously. And so I was, yeah, definitely didn't know what her form would be like. I know she, when she's in form, she's
tough. Pretty
amazing.
Yeah.
And I hadn't, you know, 100% focused on the race like I did last year, you know? Like, I'd raced so much ITU until quite late. And then I'd gotten a bit sick, so I'd missed a week of training and, you know, 3 weeks out from Maui. And so I was like, ooh, I think I've got it, but I haven't, like, dotted my I's and crossed my T's quite like I would have wanted to. So it was a little, you know, on edge. But, you know, luckily I, you know, managed to pull it off. And I did have enough training in me. And it was a bit of a wild race out there. I definitely, like Josiah, crashed a few times.
Yeah. Was the course a lot different than last year?
It was a little different, yeah, but, you know, not radically different. I think it was just a little wet in some places.
Yeah.
And you didn't know that. And so I just slid out a few times on silly things. And honestly, all of my crashes were really silly and quite frustrating, to be honest. But again, that happens. Like, you've got to really just take it, like, moment by moment and just pick yourself back up again and carry on.
When you look back at all the different things, from being in two Olympics and the Commonwealth Games and now the two world titles, is there one race that you look back on as your favorite, as one that means the most to you?
Yeah, well, it's probably that race in 2006, Melbourne Commonwealth Games.
Yep.
When I was 18. Yeah, I mean, it was just, like, one of the most unbelievable races that I've done, just being there totally out of my depth and racing with, you know, athletes that I'd looked up to. And I guess it just really instilled some confidence that, okay, maybe you can do this for us. Okay, you're from a small little island, but you can compete with some of the bigger nations. That was just a really special day for me.
So talk me through the difference between an Xterra race and an ITU cross race. I know you've won gold and silver at the ITU cross try. Are they more lapped races? How do they differ from Xterra?
You know, they're actually pretty similar, but okay. Yes, they do try to do it in more of like the ITU style, where it'd be like a 2-lap swim. The bike course will be laps, and then so the run course. But they're pretty similar. I guess just at the ITU cross race, you'll find more of the formalities that you see in ITU races, like just, you know, lining us all up in the blue carpet and just stricter rules within transition and, yeah, lap courses and, you know, all that sort of thing. So it's not too much of a difference.
So this is heading into an Olympic year in Rio. Will this be, will you be getting back to ITU to focus on trying to make your third Olympic team?
Yeah, definitely. That's the plan. Like this year, I'm ranked pretty well actually right now on the Olympic simulation list. So my spot is pretty secure. It's not a final yet, but and it makes next year much easier. Like I won't have to race quite as much. I can kind of pick and choose and just focus on Rio, which is the big goal for next year. I'd love to get it right, whatever that may be.
when you look at trying to balance ITU racing and off-road racing, will you do much off-road this next year? Or will you go, you know what, I'm going to try to stay safe here and just go on the roads? Or will you, you know, do a full schedule of both?
No, I think this year or next year it'll be predominantly ITU.
Okay.
In the early season, so in like probably like February, March, April, I'll do a couple Xterras.
Yeah.
And then try to keep it pretty ITU focused until Rio. You know, it's just, it's not really a safety thing, because honestly, like, sometimes I feel safer on my mountain bike than I do in an ITU pack.
Right.
But it's just, you know, racing at the ITU level, if you want to race at the top level, it's just, you've got to be solely focused on it, and the details matter so much more. And so that'll be the plan for next year.
Now, will you stay in Colorado over the winter, or do you go and do a training camp somewhere?
No, so I'm actually leaving tonight. Later tonight, I'm getting on a flight to Bermuda for 2 weeks.
Aha, as well you should.
Yep, and then from there, I'm going to South Africa. I train in Stellenbosch.
Nice.
From sort of December, I guess I'll get there end of November's time until May. My boyfriend Dan is South African and lives in Stellenbosch, so it's quite convenient that I can spend 6 months there and then 6 months in Boulder and then drop home to visit my parents in between.
Wow, you got three good locations.
I know. I don't know how I scored so well.
You really did. That is awesome. Hey, Flora, congratulations on it. It's not often you can talk to somebody who just had a perfect season. Right. Oh, and you wait, and then you just did Island House. Would you take third at the Island House?
I did,
How fun was that?
Yeah, it was really fun. It was hard. It was
hard. People think, we're on vacation. Yeah, except for the racing stuff.
Yeah, but it was incredible. I'm so grateful that I got in and got to experience it, meet a lot of athletes I hadn't met before. You know, it's so cool that, like, long course meets ITU girls and just racing and hanging out there and... Yeah, it was incredible.
Yeah, well, and you got everybody from Gwen Jorgensen to Lisa Norden and then, you know, Marina Carfrey. Had you met, well, obviously you're in Boulder, so you see Rennie all the time.
Yeah, so I see Rennie all the time and Rachel. But I had met, like, the Wortels and, like, a couple others. So, you know, it was really cool. But actually, there was probably, like, six or seven of us that were from Boulder that were there. So it was kind of also nice, like, a lot of familiar faces to see and hang out with.
Love it. Hey, Flora, thanks so much for taking time. Congratulations on an amazing season, and best of luck making your third Olympic team.
Great. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. Flora Duffy has been our guest. We are brought to you by Ironman U, RunCatalina.com, our Challenged Athletes Foundation. We've raised over $70 million to keep athletes in the game of life through sport, by EverySight.com, and check out any of our interviews on iTunes or at Babbittville.com. Hold on, everyone. We will be right back.